You're listening to Kaput Radio, your companion to the idiot era.
I have been involved in looking at money and the way money works for the last 30 years, parallel to my work as an ecological architect. And because I found out in 1982-84 in my job as the director of ecology and energy research in the International Building Exhibition in Berlin, that in the present money system, basically ecological projects are not economical in quotation marks, because they can't usually compete with the money-making power of money on the money market. And when I understood that, I began to look more closely at the money system. I discovered this flaw in the money system that would prevent us from implementing ecological projects on the scale necessary. So you can either choose between having a social or an environmental collapse. And at the moment, this is basically the choice we have. And this is what we are facing all the way through the money system. We are facing half-truths. We are facing nebulous terms, like, for instance, the banks will tell you, let your money work for you. Well, has anybody ever seen money work? Money cannot work. It's only people and machines.
And this week, we learned that government debt is like lager. If it's more than 7%, you'll eventually collapse. We also learned that people never listen to the bit of the advert that they should pay most attention to.
Your country is at risk if you do not keep up payments on any loan secured on it.
Most people believe that the money system we have is the only one that can exist. It's a bit like asking the fish about water. The fish wouldn't be able to answer it because there's always water around it. And very few people understand that within the money system there is this destructive construction mistake, you could say. The invisible wrecking machine, as John King, an American economist, once called it. It takes about 40 to 60 years, and this is where we are now after World War II, 1945. Now we are about 60 years later, we are in the same predicament we had before World War II. Lots of people without jobs, huge government debts. I mean, with the euro, it looks as if the eurozone is breaking up.
Thanks for your time this evening.
It's great to be talking with you. Good evening.
You're an economist.
Well, a political economist, principally.
Well, aren't all economists political at the moment?
The meetings have been filling up beautifully, I might say. We had to stick some extra chairs in at the AGM the other night.
Now, the European financial crisis seems to be hanging in the balance, doesn't it?
It is poised at a very interesting juncture right at the moment, as you say.
Well, the future of the euro is at stake.
Optimism. I love optimism. I'm so pleased I came.
Well, what is the EU looking for from the Greek government?
Well, the Greek government obviously needs to put in place certain measures that satisfy the people lending these huge amounts of money, that this is not just
a gift of $100 billion a month.
Well, exactly. Mm. Exactly.
I mean, a taxation system wouldn't go astray here, would it?
I don't think it's any secret that a taxation system of some kind somewhere in the Aegean wouldn't hurt their cause.
I mean, it's hard not to see this as a contest between democracy and capitalism.
Well, that's interesting. You're certainly, I think, seeing here an international force at work against a national
force.
And
in Greece, home of democracy.
Yes, and we should never forget, of course, that the very basis of that Greek idea of democracy is
slaves rowing ships around the Mediterranean.
No. I mean that underpinning the idea of democracy that we get from Greece.
But it was underpinned by slaves rowing ships around the Mediterranean, wasn't it?
But while that was happening, Brian, back in Athens, there was a very crucial discussion going on about the very idea of a state and how best to manage a state and what a state needs in order to function properly.
Slaves rowing ships around the Mediterranean.
Right. What you're talking about happened a hell of a long time ago.
But isn't this the problem for the Greek population now? I mean, it's they're being sold to bondage again.
No, Brian, that's not the basis of democracy. That's not the idea I'm talking about.
I'm talking about the current position.
Oh, in political terms, I'm sure that is the concern of a great many of the citizens, yes.
And the sacking of Rome. Aren't we seeing that again?
No, we're not going to see the sacking of Rome, Brian. No. What we've got in Italy is a sovereign debt crisis, which is very addressable through the rigorous monitoring of a programmed series of debt.
But the debt can't be paid back, can it?
Well,
I mean, aren't we, in fact, ignoring the elephant in the lounge room?
Elephant? What elephant? The elephants are in the Alps, aren't they? Aren't they still in the Alps? The elephants are in the Alps, aren't they? They can't get through the mountains. The elephants cannot get through the mountains.
What mountains?
Trust me, they can't come through.
Hang on. What mountains?
There are no mountains. We're in real trouble, if that's... Pardon? Now we're in real trouble. There are no mountains at all.
No.
Mountains aren't there.
No mountains.
Carthage? No, I don't even know anyone in Carthage. No, I don't want to accept the bloody call.
There's been a lot of fuss that the people haven't been given a say over the bailouts, but then the media have a very schizophrenic attitude to the people. You must have noticed that newspapers regularly run stories that go,
70% of adults can't read a bus timetable.
Or,
half of the population are unable to multiply 50 by 17.
They're forever running surveys that show that people can't add up or don't know the name of the Foreign Secretary or the year World War II broke out, and then suddenly the next day the same papers go,
it's time voters had a say on the debt restructuring of the Eurozone.
What?
Why, oh why, can't they let the people decide on the feasibility of operating a single currency in an economic area of widely differing levels of productivity?
Over the past three decades, the middle class has lost ground, while the wealthiest few have become even wealthier. In fact, the average income for the top 1% of Americans has risen almost seven times faster than the income of the average middle class family. Now, in this country, we don't begrudge anyone wealth or success. We encourage it. We celebrate it.
Occupy Wall Street. Occupy Wall Street by selfish politicians. Corporate tax rate pays zero federal income tax at all. You see, that's what's wrong. $10. If that's all they can afford for the year, they have to pay something.
The Washington image.
The American image.
That's madness. We can't protect against craziness.
You did your part, Representative. Senator Amidala is the problem.
I thought age might temper her idealism.
I know people who could do something about her. That task is more difficult than you presume.
Gentlemen, the Banking Clan and Trade Federation are about business, not violence.
In this case, our business is violence.
Precisely. With or without Senator Amidala, the Galactic Senate is unlikely to deregulate the banks until this war hits home.
What exactly are you proposing?
Perhaps some unexpected bloodshed on Coruscant may change a few minds.
Coruscant? Coruscant has not been attacked in over 1,000 years.
Then it has a false sense of security. There are some powerful clients on the other side who could help us, shall we say, make the point.
I like this plan.
No one cares what you think.
Banks? A small price to pay to finance the war, is it not?
We keep must the war keep going. The war going.
Keep the war going.
Members of the Senate, do you hear yourselves? More money, more clones, more war. Say nothing of fiscal responsibility. What about moral responsibility? Hasn't this war gone on long enough?
Senator Amidala, are you suggesting we surrender to the separatists?
Of course not. But negotiation might be a better course of action.
You can't negotiate with those animals. Keep the war going. Vote now!
Members of the Senate, I suggest we table any emergency bill until it is determined whether or not deregulation is the right course of action.
Very well. We shall let calmer heads prevail.
They've appointed a man as the chief of the IAEA who has no authority. He even violates the agency's rules. The Americans have fabricated a stack of papers, and he keeps speaking about them. Why don't you do a report on the U.S. nuclear program and its allies? Present a report on the thousands of U.S. military bases where Washington has nuclear arms that threaten global security.
Since September 17th, the Occupy Wall Street protest has been engaged in marches and picketing in New York City and a number of other cities across the country. But recently, it has spawned a new series of protests. This is the epicenter of the Occupy Main Street movement.
Some of us rich folk got together at our annual polo and caviar gala, and we decided enough's enough. And we're not going to let these Main Street fin cats gobble up all that extra money that we deserve to have.
Why do you think you deserve it?
Because we're rich. We deserve whatever we want.
Yeah.
Is that a real question?
Are you aware
that the poorest 50% of Americans pay nothing in income taxes.
We don't pay any either, but it's because of loopholes.
And because we're smart enough to use the American tradition of hiding our money in offshore bank accounts.
It's what George Washington would have wanted.
What do you want to legalize?
Cocaine, obviously. Marijuana's for poor people.
Though small in numbers, the Occupy Main Street protesters have already drawn high-profile support, like a $600 million donation from the Koch brothers and appearances from celebrities like the captain from Captain and Tennille.
Love, love will keep us together.
We speak for the real Americans, the bankers, the financial speculators, the high-end yacht salesmen. Oh, the media's too scared to cover this protest. No, I haven't seen one single story on this in the newspaper that I own.
As shown here, the richest 1% controls about a quarter of the nation's income. That leaves 75% of the country's money that has been unfairly kept out of the hands of the mega-wealthy. As of now, the protest shows no signs of stopping, and it remains to be seen if rich people will ever get their chance in America.
The solution that everyone seems agreed on is that all these pesky popular politicians should get out of the way and be replaced by a technocrat. Whatever that is, but we keep hearing that they're coming. It's going down. We're at over 7%.
Dow Jones dropping.
Great news, everybody. We're safe. From now on, the economy will be run by...
Hello, everybody.
Dull technocrat man.
Dull technocrat man. He flies to the rescue of ailing economies everywhere with his superpowers of understanding debt restructuring and bond yields.
That should calm the markets.
The other thing they've set up is something called the Financial Stability Facility, which holds the distinction of being the first international bailout fund that sounds like it comes from a Gilbert and Sullivan song, and which might appeal to Berlusconi. Maybe he should sing his way off the stage.
I'm not going to get a loan from the stability facility. I'm hoping it will help me to restore my lost liquidity.
The yield on your bonds has reached a level unsustainable. This level of mismanagement makes credit unobtainable.
I asked for help from China. They don't want to bail out Westerners. We're staying in the euro. I don't care what Robert Peston says.
For Italy and Greece is this financial Gotterdammerung. You're helpless to control your fate a bit like David Cameron.
To lower fiscal risk regarding debt sustainability, we're going to get a loan from the stability facility.
Or else we take steps.
To the rhythm and my beats to my sound.
And introduce a money system that would just be a mechanism for exchange of goods and services and not a means of speculation. Because once you have enough houses, you stop at an optimal level. I mean, it would enable the economy to stop growing at an optimal level, and that's what we need. We could have products, first of all, that would be produced forever. I mean, we could have cars and all this, and that could use a lot less energy and all this sort of thing if we didn't have to follow the exponential growth in the money system, if we didn't have that growth pressure on us that is being produced through the money system.
It also seems unfair that the world should be worried about Italian debt when we owe so much to the Italians.
Oh, yes. What have the Italians ever done for us, eh?
Well, they gave us law.
Apart from the law.
And sanitation.
And roads.
All right. Apart from the law and roads and sanitation, what have the Italians ever given us?
The banking system?
So everyone is a wonder to know. Will Silvio stay or will I go? If I hang on a little more, things get more mess up than before. I've said goodbye before, you know, and yet I somehow fail to go. I'm always a tease, a tease, a tease. I'm got no time for policies. My only interest, I'm afraid, is getting rich and getting laid. And staying out of jail, you know, could be a problem if I go. So will I stay or will I go now? How will I stay or will I go now? For wealth and power I still hunger.
And not to mention a banga banga. I'm gonna miss the chicks and the dough. So will I stay or will I go? Ah, shut up on your face.
Nine, nine, nine has not been understood by the American public. This is Herman Cain. Let me reiterate my 999 plan once more. There will be nine women in the office. There will be nine women in the kitchen. And there will be nine women in the bedroom. This is Herman Cain. Elect me and you'll have benefits of be 999 America.
Silvio Gazelle was an unconventional economist who sought to know the true nature of money. He was born in 1862 in Germany. At the age of 24, he moved to Argentina and became successful as an entrepreneur. At that time, the economic policies of South American countries were in total chaos. Argentina experienced inflation and deflation repeatedly. Accordingly, the way of life in Argentina was about to break down. Gazelle thought that a currency system and social order were deeply interrelated. Gazelle moved to Switzerland in 1900. During World War I, he published a book entitled The Natural Economic Order, in which he criticized the existing political parties, saying that they only asserted empty ideologies and did not have any concrete economic principles. Gazelle then proposed his new concept of free money. Later, economist John Maynard Keynes stated in his The General Theory of Employment, Interest, and Money that he believes that the future will learn more from the spirit of Gazelle than from that of Marx. In the 1930s, by the brave decision of the mayor of Urgel, a town located close to the German border, Gazelle's theory of free money was put into action.
The Great Depression brought serious recession to this small Austrian town. Production became stagnant, and unemployed people were found everywhere. The population of Urgel at that time was a little less than 5,000, while the number of unemployed reached over 400. Income from taxes dropped sharply, and the town's debt grew. Urgel was facing financial ruin. Mikhail Unterguggenberger, the mayor at that time, attributed the economic breakdown to the stagnation of money. Currency was saved and not circulated. If money does not circulate, the number of unemployed will increase, production will decrease, and consumption will slow down. To improve the situation, the mayor decided to introduce Gazelle's idea of free money. In July 1932, with the agreement of the municipal assembly, the town decided to issue local currency, which was only valid in that town. This action started new businesses, created work for the unemployed, and paid money with the new local currency called labor certificates. The town constructed roads and public institutions and made payments to the unemployed using the local currency. A miracle happened. The local currency, which was initially paid as salaries, rapidly started to circulate throughout the town. By circulating, money performs economic activities several times larger than its value. The town's income from taxes, which had been stagnant, started to increase steadily. The secret of rapid circulation lay in stamps pasted on the reverse side of the bills. At the beginning of every month, a consumer had to purchase a stamp costing 1% of the face value of the bill and paste it to the bill. In other words, the value of the money decreased if it was not used. Accordingly, those who possessed this bill had to use this money first. In this way, these labor certificates started to circulate one after another. The money now had the function of promoting economic activities. This money, created by Gazelle, was epoch-making since it decreased in value as time went by. The money was never saved, but continuously circulated. This local money was paid as salaries to public servants and gradually became accepted by banks.
Okay, well, if I go into history, I really have to also say that all the great religious leaders of all times have forbidden interest. And in Europe, for instance, Germany, there was a time when the people who had the right to coin the money when they were not allowed to ask for interest. But so what they did is they created a money that had to be reminted every 3 to 4 years. And everybody had to bring the money to the mint sovereign and to get new money instead of the old money. And they usually lost something between 20% and 40% in the process. And that was at the same time a way to collect taxes. But this was a time between 900 and 1500 when all the big cathedrals in Germany or in Europe were built. That was a time when there were hardly any wars. This is why it hardly appears in our history books. And this was a time when we had incredible artistic knowledge, because if people cannot invest in money and get more out of money, they look for the nearest thing to money, something that either keeps its value or that even gets more valuable in the course of time, like works of art. So there was a time when people started projects that they knew would take 200 years to finish. Imagine the kind of future trust in the future, which these people must have had when they started these cathedrals. I was born just at the beginning of World War II, when Hitler came into power, and when in 1939 he was in power already, and he started World War II. And I think that why Hitler was acceptable in Germany to most people was that he did something similar to what Roosevelt did, the new Big New Deal, or the Great New Deal in the United States. He created jobs by creating public works programs, and by paying people and by having much less unemployment. And so people would do anything to have work. And the same today. We are again in a situation where we have lots of people without jobs, and already the radical parties are starting to grow. The right-wing radicalism, like left-wing radicalism, is starting to grow because of the discontent of young people, just as in the 30s when Hitler came into power. So we are in the grave danger of having either war, and that all World War I and II both broke out when interest was down to 2.5%, and then you have hyperinflation, or you have a crash like in the Great Depression in the 1920s, or you have a social revolution. And neither with the French Revolution, nor the Russian Revolution, nor the Chinese Revolution, the money system was changed. So after 40 to 60 years, you have the same situation again. And therefore, I think we need to use our brains right now and start to look at the real causes of the present situation and try to get at that point. I think the major reason why this knowledge is not really public knowledge is that the economists are phrasing their knowledge in terms that nobody understands. But no, even more important is that in order to study economy or to start working in a bank, you have to accept the system. If you don't accept that, you might as well forget about studying economics or going to work in a bank. So all of our experts are actually intensely involved in keeping the system going, and on top of it, they make most of their money with the chaos they are creating. The more ups and downs, the more problems there are, the more they get, because they earn mostly from the fees they get for their transactions. But the system causing the ups and downs, it causes a speculation, because as soon as the economy is not producing the values that the system demands in terms of money, the money goes into speculative deals.
Up a few points yesterday, down a few today, which is a bit of a relief after weeks of gut-churning volatility and uncertainty. Not that the uncertainty's gone away, of course. It no longer really matters whether stocks are cheap or expensive on fundamentals. It all depends on whether disaster in Europe, and therefore the global financial system, can be averted. And no one knows.
And no one knows.
And no one knows.
Prepared to face this, and if we're not prepared to investigate it when the matters have been laid, then there is absolutely no hope for the financial system or for its reputation worldwide in this country.
And what did the police, the financial regulator, what did they do?
Effectively nothing. Nothing at all.
That is like walking to a police station with a knife with blood on it and say, I've just killed someone, and you expect the police to say, well, where's the body, where's the person, what have you done? And they just say, fine, just don't do it again. And that left me dumbfounded. Fine, just don't do it again. Just don't do it again.
My goal was, for the last 30 years, to bring the knowledge about this this flaw in the money system and what it does to us and the world to the normal people, to the 90% who pay in the system. Because I think they are the only ones who are going to change it. And therefore, I'm so happy about this Occupy Now movement all over the world, because it's the most interesting thing I find is that this money system, which oppresses the whole world, is also the reason for a movement that is sort of capturing the young people all over the world. And it's a far better movement to go on the street rather than go to a radical party and get another fascist system going.
A movement that began in New York has grown globally, but there are questions about its future and focus.
Here in Washington, just a block from the White House, occupiers are showing no signs of moving on. Not even the prospect of a cold winter is putting them off. In fact, they say, if anything, their numbers are increasing.
We can overcome the oppression that the police in Oakland or in Portland are bringing down upon people.
We have a strong sense of, you know, well-being, and we mean well, so it's like we're not going to be brought down easily.
They'll mark the two-month anniversary of the campaign this week with plans to shut down Wall Street, where it all began.
One, two.
You can check all the web details at kaputradio.libsyn.com.
This morning I wake with a feeling of dread, from the holes in my socks to my do-na-do head. I had a PM breakfast, did my hair with a hat, found some old sunnies and let out the cat. I track-padded my way down the street, gave a busker a knowing snort. I butted out the smoke, I was broke, no joke, the dull drums beat inside last week's shirt. I walked through the automatic doors, automatic, hydromatic, instamatic board. Then I saw you like a shot of Kahlua among the manure. You looked divine in the Centrelink line, wearing designs from 1999. Your fortnightly form employs my eyes to full-time job, and I can't lie. I wanted to make a general inquiry and let you read all of my diary. I wanted to know your name, your date of birth, your mobile reference number, if you happen to have it handy. I wanna be your touchscreen and give you all 100 points of my ID. Yeah, you don't need Medicare, I'll give you ready care. You ain't a job seeker, baby, you're a heat seeker. 'Cause I could line up for hours in your eyes and not get very bored. Unlike the plants in here, my love is real. Oh, I know right now our lives seem to be so far apart, but baby, I'm just asking for a new start. I know right now you seem to be so out of range, but please let me know if any of these details change. 'Cause it's a fact, oh, I wanna be your de facto, yeah. You're my thin link, you're my doll. I just want to work for your soul. Forget debts, forget hex. Oh baby, let's talk about.
Is that an inquiry about my new set?
Reception.
Oh,
yeah, this is only families.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And sorry, I don't know anything about you, start.
You look divine in the Centrelink line, wearing designs from 1999. Your fortnightly form employs my eyes. It's a full-time job, and I can't lie. You look divine in the Centrelink line, wearing designs from 1999. Your fortnightly form. Time job, knock out loud.